Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Chad, and I am a grateful recovering alcoholic today. Thank you, Cindy, for having me in the meeting, Peter, for working in the chat, and everyone that's doing security in the background and so forth. Thank you. What a wonderful meeting. I came into this meeting about a month ago. A good friend of mine had passed many years ago, and I realized on that date it was the date of his death from alcoholism. And it really affected me. I'm not sure why, but so I came into this meeting because I wanted to share that when we get sober, this is a life and death thing. This is not a joke. And I've had a lot of friends pass from this. So I want to stay on the positive side. I'm not much of a storyteller about my past. I don't think that's really the point. The point is that we're all here, we're sober, we're working a program. And today we're better people than we were yesterday. Tomorrow, I hope we're better than we are today. At least today I'm sober. One of the reasons that I really love this program, and I want to touch on this before I get into any storytelling, is I have four adult children. They range from 22 to 34. And this makes me well up every time I say it, but all of my children know me as a sober dad. They don't know me as a drunk. And that is one of the most important things in my life. So for the majority of my life, I've been sober, and my children know me as such, and I'm so grateful for that. This program really does work. All newcomers keep coming back. It really does work. It absolutely does. I looked up just because I'm not a day counter. I wanted to see where my days landed today, and I'm a palindrome at 5995 days, which is kind of cool. I don't know. I'm not a day counter, but at any rate. So my story started back. I'll go through a little history of my family. My mother was a politician, very educated. Very smart. My father was a businessman. My brother, older brother, was a musician. They were all about, how shall I say it, performing. So I grew up in a house full of people that were always trying to perform. My dad was a heavy drinker. My mom got into pills. Anyways, let's fast forward to 1987. September 1987, I had been legal to drink for 2 months. And went into rehab then. I started, as I said, I started sitting at AA table September 21st, 1987. It changed my life. It was the best thing I ever did. I worked a very strong program for about 12 to 14 years, and then it kind of sifted off. I didn't really follow it too much. I was worried about my family and all these other things. And sure enough, just under 17 years, I went back out. Whatever anyone tells you and whatever it says in the big book about going back out, it's all absolutely true. It is a progressive disease. I ruined 10 years worth of effort in 1 year. I destroyed my home, my finances, relationships with people that I loved, and so on. Luckily, I wasn't around my kids very much at that point, so they didn't see that, thank God. But when I did come back to the program, I was very serious about staying sober and working a program. So, at any rate, going back out was one of the worst and best experiences of my life. It's to me, still to this day, there are days where I want to kick myself because I could have 30 some odd years of sobriety contiguous, but that's not what it's about. What it's about is today is that I'm humble. I know that I am flawed. We are flawed. That's why we come to this program. And like I said earlier, hopefully this program makes us better than we were. So one of the things that I work really hard on a daily basis is to be honest with myself and honest with others. And one of the things that I find myself doing that I like to share with people, it's called bubble talking. And this is a perfect example that I use is, so in the program, I view drinking as hitting myself on the thumb with a hammer over and over. And every time when I was drinking, someone would come to me and say, "Hey, why do you keep hitting your thumb with a hammer?" My answer would be, "Oh, I didn't hit my thumb with a hammer. I had my thumb up on a car, and there was a plane flying overhead that transports hammers, and a hammer fell out, and it must have hit me on the thumb. It's not me." So I was always trying to excuse myself of responsibility for the things that I did when I did drink and for the stupid things that I do when I don't drink, but I still have alcoholic behavior. So without getting too far into my theory of what being sober and staying sober is, I think the most important thing for me is that I read the big book daily. For newcomers, you can get a little red book up on Amazon. They're like three books. You don't have one, pick it up. It's worth it. I read this every day and I work the steps. One of my favorite parts about the steps is that they'll place the steps with one word. And my favorite is honesty. Step one. Are you actually being honest with yourself every day, every second of every day? The answer is no. We try to be, and that's what we can do is strive to be the best that we are while we're sober. Hopefully, those of you that are here that are newcomers have enough people around you. I don't know, maybe you're in the center of the herd, as they call it, so that you can rely on others that are sober to help you find your way until you get your footing underneath you. And that's really, really important. One of the best things that I found about this program, and I brought up my four adult children earlier, is that they call me regularly for advice. I'm very close with my kids, and I'm really grateful for that. There was one point, I don't know, a couple weeks ago, and there were four texts in a row from my kid before, all four of my kids before 9 a.m. saying, "Dad, I love you. Dad, you're the greatest dad," whatever. And I'm so grateful for that. But when my kids call me and they have questions and problems and things that they want to work out, I end up going to the 12 steps with them every time. First question is, do you have any power over what's going on? And usually the answer is no, we are powerless. And so this leads me to a topic that I touch on a lot when I talk with my sponsees, my children, and even myself, is that how pompous is it of us as human beings to think that we're actually in charge of anything? Okay, I do not believe that I am actually in control of anything. What I do know I'm in control of is how I respond and how I act. And that's it. Everything else is just smoke and mirrors. It's a bunch of bubble talk and it really means nothing. So today, my surrender is that I understand that there's something way more powerful than I am that's in charge. And I am lucky that I am afforded the opportunity to be alive today and enjoy this experience and share with you all the day and to come to meetings and have other people share with me. Have my sponsor call me out of the blue just to say, "How you doing? Are you good?" And I know that I belong and that everything will be okay because I come to these meetings every day. So I don't know. One of the things, part of the reason that I'm not a big fan of like storytelling of my past and stuff is it just seems like a lot of times I'll go to meetings and people want to tell this long-winded story. And that's cool. And I appreciate stories are important to help us heal and learn and grow. But I think the most important factor really is that I do believe, as I said earlier, in a higher power that's much greater than me. And my surrender is that I realize that I'm not in charge. What I am in charge of is, like I said, how I act, how I react. Do I come to meetings every day? Am I honest when I'm at a meeting? And this is something that I strive really hard to be, not only at meetings, but honest all the time. And it's hard. It's difficult. It's a big challenge for me because I always want to make up this big story of, oh, I was this and I was that and I was the acrobat and the trapeze artist. And it's something that I battle with daily. And I don't know if that's from me, where I grew up or the fact that I am an alcoholic and this behavior persists. I'm not sure. However, gosh, I really want to try and keep this cohesive because I talk in circles. I apologize. So I hope I'm not like making it difficult. But nonetheless, step one, honesty. Step two, hope. Hope is where I live daily. I share this with my children every day. And I'm going to say for younger generations and all of us right now, it's very difficult. We're having a lot of challenges financially and otherwise. All my kids are getting, two of them are getting ready to have families and buy homes, and they're scared. They're having a really hard time. And this is the time where we need to employ hope. And so I work with them on a daily basis. I'm like, hope and faith and courage is going to get you all the way. It's going to take you all the way home if you really, truly believe. Step five, which is, a minute to God and to ourselves, the exact nature of our wrongs. That to me, and it's listed in the book, is the word integrity. And this is what I try to live by on a daily basis. It's important to me that I look in the mirror and feel okay with who I am, and that when I come to meetings and I speak to people and I call my sponsees or my sponsor, that I don't feel like I'm full of shit. Because I used to always feel like I was full of crap when I used. I don't have to do that anymore. I can be honest and I can be vulnerable. I don't have to be like I don't know. And honestly, I enjoy speaking because it's a lot of fun and I like to share this and maybe it'll help other people learn and understand. Maybe I'll say one thing that someone will hang on to and it'll help them the next time they think about using or whatever. At any rate, so being sober to me is such an important factor of my life. And like I said, I started in the 80s. I have a strong background. Most of the mantras that you'll speak out of the program in the big book, I'm familiar with. I've been saying them for decades. But the most important factor that I try to remember every day, and I pray for this at night when I go to bed and I think about it and pray for it in the morning, is please, God, don't let me ever forget how stupid I am when I drink, because I make bad decisions when I drink. And that's really it. And then after those bad decisions, I end up hurting myself and people that I really care about for no other reason than I needed to drink, which is just so stupid. And I still, to this day, I battle with that. I still judge myself. I still sometimes will call my sponsor in the middle of the night just in tears, like, sorry, but how could I have ever been that person? I can't even fathom. And so I'm grateful today I'm going on, like, I don't know, I'm somewhere between 16 and 17 years sober. The last 5 years has been somewhat of a challenge. It's been financial challenges. There's been challenges with my family, but I haven't wanted to drink. Every time that I've even remotely thought about it, I know that I have a network of people that I can call. I know that when I do listen to people speak, it always says something to me that helps me to stay sober. And it renews my faith in this program and God. And a lot, you know, again, touching on God and higher power, some people have an issue with that. And it's where one of my sponsees had a real problem with being spiritual and accepting the concept of God. And I can understand that. I mean, I'm a religious person, so I don't have a problem with it. But I kind of branched out into a new concept that I've been sparing. I have three sponsees, and I've been sharing this with all three of them. And I do it with my children too. And it's, we talk about a higher power. And along with that higher power, I believe that the part of us that communicates with the higher power and connects is our higher self. I do also believe, and a lot of people don't like this, I do believe that we all have a lower power and we have a lower self. And it's your choice which one you want to choose. It's up to you. I choose my higher power and my higher self. And when I feel my lower self starting to, and it does, it's always there trying to make me do stupid things and lie or cheat, whatever it is, I just turn right away and I turn to my higher power and ask for forgiveness, for straying, for acceptance. And hopefully that's enough that I can stay on track. So I hope I'm being continuative enough. I know I talk in circles, like I said earlier, and I don't want it to be just me rambling on and on, but I want to touch on a couple of things for me. When I was really young, I had the good fortune of getting involved in a band, and where I live here, there's a famous producer that lived in this area and so forth. And so I got signed with a band. And there's a point to this. It's not about that. It's about the drummer that I was in the band with. And one of my closest friends, we went through 4 years of madness, lost our record deal, ended up back home drunks and addicts, and it was a nightmare. I got sober. The drummer did not. He didn't make it. He only made it another couple years, and then they found him unresponsive in his apartment. And I go back to where I started with this, which is the reason I came to this meeting to begin with a month ago, is this isn't a joke. I have several family members that died from alcoholism and addiction. I've got several really, really close friends that died from addiction and alcoholism. And so I guess what makes me well up about it when I think about that is that what makes me so special that I made it? And I'm not sure. I don't know what the answer is to that question. What makes any of us allowed, why are we allowed the privilege to be alive when others don't make it? I'm not sure, but that's part of the faith that I hang on to. There must be some reason that we're all here, because we're all here in this meeting right now, and we're doing this and we're staying clean and sober. And so today I live with an overabundance of gratitude every day. Every day I get out, and I'm not a wealthy man. I don't own a home. I don't own a car. I drive a little scooter. I live very frugally. I make okay money for my job, but I'm really happy. And I account the majority of that to the fact that I'm not looking for a validation in how much money I have, or where I live, or the kind of car I drive, or any of that. It really doesn't matter. I take validation in these meetings. I'm so grateful that I'm alive and sober every day that it's become like the platform of my life. And again, like I said, my family and my children, they are all really proud of me that I'm sober, and so I'm grateful for that. So at any rate, newcomers and everyone that's here, keep coming back. It does work if you work it. If you work it every day and you make it who you are, it becomes habit, it becomes a part of who you are, and then you don't really have to think about it anymore. One of the challenges that I've had was a couple of my younger children did start drinking several years ago, and it was so hard for me to not say anything. I couldn't, I wanted to be like, no, don't. Well, they all found their way. They all figured it out. They stopped drinking eventually, and I'm really grateful for that. So, in the big book, if you read it, states, like, rarely have we seen a person fail who thoroughly follows our path. That is absolutely true. I can say that without a doubt. I know so many people that came into this program and, flipped through the book. They're like, okay, I'm going to do the 12 steps today. I do it every day, but the first time through, you really need to apply yourself, in my opinion. If you keep working and you keep coming back and you follow the path, do the steps, get a sponsor, go to meetings, buy a big book, and pay attention to what it says, it's going to work. It does work. And I've seen some people, one of my sponsees was supposed to die. They basically gave him, like, you're done, go home, get your affairs in order, it's over. You've ruined your liver, you're not going to make it. He's still alive. It's been 2.5 years. They gave him 6 months. He stopped drinking. Yeah. He started praying. He started coming to these meetings. And he calls me in the middle of the night sometimes, like, I don't want to drink, but man, this shit is hard. Yes, life is hard. And so that brings me to my biggest theory of why I think alcoholics do what we do. Life is painful. And it's built, in my opinion, I believe it's built into our DNA that we as humans want to minimize pain. It could be as simple as I'm hungry, your stomach's grumbling, you go eat. We also want to minimize pain for people around us that we love. But going back to minimizing our own pain, what I do when I'm in pain is I want to medicate. I have the urge to medicate, self-medicate. And that does not kill the pain. It medicates the pain. It puts it on hold for a while.
Two
But
minutes, please.
everything's still, thank you. Everything's still there when you come back. Wow, that was a fast 20 minutes. Holy mackerel. So at any rate, I missed this bunch of key points, but the bottom line is today I am grateful for my life. I'm grateful that there's pain in life because I'm aware of who I am. I'm human and I feel what I feel and I feel it all. And if it's good or bad, so be it. That's what it is. But that's life. Life is feeling and learning to manage the difficult things and to take care of yourself and stay healthy. And when you are in pain, take care of it. Don't anesthetize. Do what you need to do. Make it right. So these are the things I live by. It seems stupid and simple, but it is. And the most important thing that I found in my life, yep, kiss all the way. Keep it simple and keep it stupid. Most important thing for me, though, really is where I live. And this is super important for me, is Rule 62. I am in charge of nothing. I don't take anything I do too seriously. I'm not in control. I'm really grateful that I'm sober today and that I have the life that I have. I'm just so grateful. And the fact that all four of my children turned out to be normies. Thank God. Thank God. That's like such a wonderful, beautiful thing. And that they all have respect for me. My kids understand that I have a disease. And instead of being stupid about it, I choose to treat it. I choose to face it head on. And I choose to come to meetings and talk to newcomers. So I hope that what I've said today has helped someone in some way. And God bless you all. I love you all. Thank you so much. I hope everybody has a blessed day. And I appreciate you having me today.